course, of course. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. You have myself and Mickey Quinn. It's a big energy week.
You can tell.
I'm feeling more myself now. Calories are going up. My life is not a fucking life of despair. And family's just left after a four-day holiday. So feeling good, feeling refreshed, feeling ready to attack the week. What about you, Mickey? How are you?
Same as that. Big week coming up, as always.
You'll hear the slurp of me having a wee decaf here because it is.
Your caffeine contents definitely went up.
Majority of it's decaf. The ones I put up are caffeine, like that pint of the black stuff. Like that's still only one shot.
Is that an actual pint, though?
It's
close enough.
She just loads it up, but I don't know how she puts in one normal and one decaf. I know there's still a little bit of coffee.
It should just be then you just fill the rest of water. No,
that's it, so it loads it up. But yeah, she always laughs her balls off of me. She's good crack. But
is that the two ladies you put in your video on?
Yeah, and then my dad went up and my dad tried to be sneaky and pay for the coffees. There were me, dad, Shauna and her husband Mark went up. We went up and I was like introducing them, having the crack. And my dad thought he'd be sneaky and slip on up, you know, like midpoint in the coffee to pay for it. And she fucking was like, no, no, no. She was like, no pay, no pay, no pay. Because someday she just doesn't make me pay because I'm there so much.
That's good. Which is good.
Which is a very nice touch, yeah, because that was
good for business.
Two lattes, two iced teas, two Americanos, and like she didn't charge. It's only a euro. She only charges €1.50 anyway, which is absolutely nuts
for
something nice. For an Americano or anything.
Jesus. But it does show you, like,
I go back all the time. Sometimes I sit there and get four coffees.
See the price and increase and how much like people are making off coffee is
Percentage margin is disgusting.
It's fucking even for a smaller coffee shop, it's very good.
How much does it cost to make a cup of coffee? Obviously not including staffs, rates, all of there, but like it's 20p, is it?
Oh, wait, less not.
Yeah, but this leads into today's topic, which me and Mickey were discussing, why some people succeed and others don't. And I actually think that we didn't even mean this. This is such a good thing. Right. I think personality, morals, and the person does a lot for it in terms of you can be the nicest cup of coffee ever. If you're rude, like I remember going, I'm not going to mention the place, it's just outside of Newry. And I remember going there for a cup of coffee because we got recommended. And it was just one person operating. And I swear he was going to punch me. I didn't know what was going on. Now, I'm all for giving the person a bye ball because they're having a bad day. But he actually, he must generally dislike me. And I never went back. And if I was out that side of town, it'd be awkward for me to go somewhere else, and I still would because of the way it was treated. So I do feel like the individual has a large percent, like you succeed based on your attitude, I think.
Oh yeah, there's massive amount of that. Like I would always say to venues that I work with, the first people, if you're walking into a bar or a club, the first people the customer meets is the door staff. The last people they meet on the way out is the door staff. You know, they can, yeah. Before you even get in a venue, you could have made up your mind going, I don't like here, I don't like their attitude, yeah. I don't feel safe. But when you're thinking of people thinking about their business, they don't think about, you know, they're going, is the drinks okay? Are they priced right? Is the music okay? Is the DJ good enough? Is my staff well enough trained? But they kind of forget about the very first thing and the very last thing that people see is the security, which is a huge thing. And it can leave, like, say if you're walking up and going down somewhere and they're like, oh, where were you the night? If you hadn't, you know, just the way they speak to you and you're just like, fuck. You know, you're starting off the night in kind of negative. And then when you go in, you're kind of like, Jesus. And then you mightn't even notice it yourself, but if you know, people will always gravitate to places that's got nicer staff or nicer door staff or nicer
absolutely.
Everything. You'll be more inclined to give them a buy ball if their product isn't as nice. No, maybe not if the product's bad, but if the product's a wee bit hit and miss, you'll be like, aye, but it's fucking nice staff and it's a safe place and it's comfortable.
Yeah, and the topic is just why some people succeed and others fail. And I honestly feel like it's definitely not to do with, like, don't get me wrong, I feel like environment does dictate progress to some degree, but you are the reason of where you are. Like, for example, did you ever see that quote? It's like, oh, when a flower doesn't grow, do you blame the flower? Do you blame the soil? And I really like that quote. But the thing is, you can't blame the soil around you because you pick your soil. Like, you pick to be around that environment. Now, as much as people can say, well, oh, I didn't pick my mom, I didn't pick my dad, I didn't pick myself. And, oh, you know, you have this or you have that. Everybody gets a random deck of cards. It's like whenever you're playing a game, you get some good, you get some bad. Some, do you know what I mean? Nobody gets a perfect deck. You work what you got. And there's other people who get worse hands, there's other people who get better hands. But the thing is, it's all about how you work. And I definitely feel like it really does. Like, if you had to pivot, if you really, I hate that saying, like, hard work pays off. But at the same time, it really is just, in my opinion, just working hard enough at something that it pays off over time. And I think you're probably very consistent. You're probably, I'm not too sure about your journey with this, but mine started because of obviously fitness. And whenever I actually got in shape, got confidence, realized that I could actually achieve something, it then related into everything in my life. So I was like, in my life, I was like, fuck, well, if I stick at this and I work hard enough at relationships, I work hard at my job, whatever it is, it'll take off. And I just applied that to business, I applied that to anything else, and it works. Did yours come from like success in one area and then that fueled the others because you learned that that like hard work, it actually does pay, but it's a lot longer than most people think?
Probably not. I don't, there, when you said it, I was thinking there probably is a wee bit more than I would have initially give it credit for, but I think a lot of where my success come from was just the pure love of it. Like the pure, like I set out at the start, I didn't even think about ever making money from playing music. So Reminds came from a very different place. And then when I realized that there was I thought the glass ceiling was Oma. You know, I thought the glass ceiling was like birthday parties, being busy doing birthday parties. Like I never in a million years dreamt of Ministry of Sound. Probably didn't even dream of Belfast, to be honest. And then when I realized that there was a bigger ocean and there was more to it, and, you know, geographically didn't really have to hold you back. And then with the advent of the internet, like, it's just all, you know, everything kind of made it a wee bit easier. But I think the one thing was consistency. But going back to what you were saying, like, there is, you know, the hard work pays off thing is it's a weird analogy, but there definitely is a correlation. What's that word? Whatever.
Correlation
between people who work hard and people who are successful. There has to be, because if you think about anybody in a sporting, like in a sporting realm, or someone in, like, people that do overtime, that's hard work. People that build a brand and pump their energy or pump their life savings in it and go all in, and maybe they're a solo entrepreneur to start until they build a team, they make enough revenue to build a team. That's hard work. But a lot of people at some stage during that initial process will give up. It was the same way as with podcasts. Like, there's some mad statistic that, like, 90% of podcasts don't get past the 7th episode or something mad like that there. And then they're like the others, to get past 27 episodes, it's like not
5%.
And it's real, some real mad thing. And you're thinking, Jesus. And they're like, like, people do just get disheartened so easy. And you know, there's not a lot of quit to me that, and sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing.
Yeah, pro and con.
Yeah,
Dana White said that. Did you see, like, his famous quote that was going viral? It was like, yes, there's more competition than ever, but he says, like, nobody in this generation has the, I'm not saying we do, he just said that nobody nowadays has the mentality of the older generation when it comes to hard work. He's like, if you bring that old school hard work attitude to this day and age, he's like, it's snowflake city. He just goes, you're just going to run them all over. He's just like, that's why there's so many people doing it. And so many people struggling to succeed. Like, a really good example is one of the main things that we do, right, when you join the mentorship, is first thing I say is, right, you must post every day. There's no buts. There's no ifs. There's no none. It's just, that is, it's not like step number one, but it's not rule. It's just a non-negotiable. I'm like, it's just a standard. And then I immediately see people miss posts 3 months in, 6 months in, 3 days in, four months in, randomly. And I'm just like, that, see that one you missed? That's the difference. That's the one that probably would have, I remember the one that went mega viral for me. It was the one that kicked off my from 35,000 to 100,000. I posted it. at 11:30 at night on a Friday night, and I took ages editing, and whenever I went to put it up, I goes, this is dog shit, but I need a post before 12. Put it up, and it fucking done shite for 4 days. Muck was like, fuck me, what was the point in that? And then boom, pinged, and I was like, such a karma thing. It's like that way, yeah. You'll always see the wee, like a wee picture of the man mining underground, and like the one man gives up mining, and the other man's like just about to finish mining, but straight after the wee bit is like a bit of gold, whereas the other person gives up and thinks, ah, oh, there's just more dirt here.
And yeah, but that goes to show like that, but then that is a karma thing, and that is you put out enough things into the world, you're going to get something back, because you held yourself accountable that you had to put out. Like, anybody knows anything about social media, like, when you were saying that, I was like, fuck, at 11:30 at night, I would have just went, nah, I'm not even doing that. Because there's, like, as you said, there's probably pointless posting at that time of night. But you held yourself accountable, and that's just...
I think that pays.
It definitely does, and, you know...
It doesn't have to be just business, too. It's even, like, relationships and stuff. I feel like you can apply this to every area of your life. Like, a really good example is, like, I obviously had issues in my relationship, and I honestly feel like a lot of it probably came down to the fact, like, you pick short-term pleasure over long-term pain, or sorry, short-term pleasure over, yeah, that's correct. So you pick the short-term gain over the long-term pain, and it's one of the things where you should, it's like that quote, hard things, easy life, easy things, hard life. If you take the easy route now and you dodge the shitty conversation, or you don't put the effort in, because it's easier now, you pay for it in the long run. And it's the same with your shape. Like, you always get a takeaway. You always don't cook for yourself. You always don't weigh your food. It ends up affecting your confidence, your mood, your sex life, the partner you get because of the looks. As shit as that sounds, and that's a worse tragedy than fucking weighing your food. And then vice versa, it's like, so if you neglect your spouse, your sex life goes off, all of that. But then you think you're pushing towards career. And I feel like life is constantly trying to balance where you put your energy. Like, you've only so much. Yeah. That's why I believe, like, as you, me and you said, balance is myth. And we're quite business and that focused. But at the same time, we've had a lot of shit going on in our personal lives because of that. Like, where we probably should have prioritized it. Whereas, like, if I look at, like, my sister's life or my mom, family, relationships, and I do agree that they're the most important thing. But then whenever you look at the success level of business, me or you wanted, you do have to sacrifice a little bit of that, and then you just have to be careful how much you do. And it's different if you're just being a dick, but it's a balancing game. I feel like life is just a balancing game. Like, it really is.
It is. There is a balance to it, and there is the sacrifice thing as well that you said. Like, and people, most people will understand the sacrifice if you explain it to them and the reason why you're doing stuff, and you know the reason why you do what you do, or the reason why you have to miss a certain thing, or the reason why you know, you're not maybe there when you should be. But, people have to buy into you as well, and they have to buy into, it's the same as going back to success. You know, if you want to be, I think a lot of the most successful people in the world, people have bought into them, and people have believed in them, rather than, you know, just looked at it and went, I'm not buying that. Because at the end of the day, most things that you do, there's a person behind every brand. And at the start, the person's more evident than ever. So your brand can get big, and then it just looks like a big multi-company and a faceless entity. But at the start, that brand probably had a person. Like, McDonald's had a man, like a human being. So they have to buy into you and buy into what you're saying at the start. So, like, any person that's building or started their own company, like, I'm thinking of Shawnee, We Are Move. Like, at the start, Shawnee was very much about it. But now, because the brand's built, like, Shawnee doesn't have to be in the forefront as much now.
No, that's the difference between a personal brand and a brand. Whereas, like, Kim K has launched, like, swimwear. Doesn't matter how big the swimwear brand gets, it's always built off her.
Yeah, well, because she's such a massive, if she puts her name, she can put her name to it for free. And it just sends everything through the roof. And that's where, like... Like, for
instance, Fendi and stuff. Like, yeah, that's like all that comes
a few months ago, I had a guy came to me with an idea for a bar, and he's a footballer. There was two footballers, two internationals, and I said to them, "Are you just going to put your faces to it and your names to it?" And they were like, "Oh no." Like, so you just want to give me money and me put in money, and we open a bar? They're like, "Aye," and I was like, Why would you not use your brand? You know, you're well known. They're like, aye, but just don't want to keep the brand clean, and because it's alcohol and bars, and it's a smart enough move by them. But I'm like, right, I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about it, because if you're going to use your name, use your following, it would help a lot. But exactly. I understand the reasons why you don't want to. So then that'll just be like taking money, because they have no expertise in hospitality whatsoever. They just want a good investment. But yeah, as I said, everybody's different. But like, the reason, going back to like the reason why people succeed and fail, I think a lot of time is effort. I think in life in general, be it relationships, be it anything, if you don't put effort into the relationship, it'll die. If you don't put effort into your job, you won't be good at it. You don't put effort into your fitness or your body transformation or your fucking diet, it's going to be shit. You don't put effort into anything. You know, everybody has that one friend. Everybody knows that one person. You've worked with them or you've met them before, that puts effort into absolutely nothing. And then they wonder why shit doesn't go their way. And they wonder why just everybody else is doing well and they're just kind of circling. Because effort, a wee bit of hard work goes a long way. Like someone who's worked or even worked hard and in the gym and like ate well even for a week, jumps on the scales and they're like, fuck, that's class. That's because you put in a wee bit of effort last week. And then the following week you go off the rails again, you don't put in as much effort, and then you kind of relapse a wee bit and you're like, oh shit. But the difference was just the effort. And I think a lot of the time, like, people think they're putting in a lot of, there's a scale of effort where you only think you're working hard until you really, really, really grind down. Like, I thought I was a hard worker until I really started really working hard. And it scared me a bit because I went down, like, I wouldn't say it's a rabbit hole, but I went down a dark place where the work was too much. Work was everything. And I couldn't, like, reverse back out again. So then when I wasn't that busy, or I wasn't keeping myself that busy, I almost thought I wasn't working at all. And then I started going, fuck, why the fuck did you not put in all that effort last week? But you're like, Jesus, I still work morning, noon, and night. So there is that scale of hard work and what people deem as hard work. Because a lot of people would never understand, like, even when you were building the app, like, people never understand, like, the lengths you went to.
Oh my God.
Because at the end of the day, that company that you used, they would have given you an app, just went bang. Like, there's an app, and it would have been a decent enough app. But you were like, no, this has to be my brain.
Yeah, it's very, for me, it's one of the things too, like, well, like, I went down a rabbit hole. Like, I literally went away to Dubai for like 3 weeks and just sat in an apartment and worked on it. It's like out here, like, a lot of people will see me throw up, like, that weekend there where there was fuckloads of pina coladas. But like, all I did for the 3 weeks prior was just gym video work content. Like, it's not like, it, don't get me wrong, it's great and the sun's good and all, but it is one of them things where, like, you do weigh up the balancing game and, like, yeah, you have to really decide where you want to go. Like, it's very easy to maintain, but in a brand game, in a business game, even in your relationship, I honestly do feel like if you're not maintaining, you're losing ground. If you're not gaining, you're losing ground.
Yeah. If you're not progressing.
I feel like that personally in all areas. Like, if you're not, as much as people can say, oh, you can maintain your shape, you're probably slowly losing ground. If you're not putting effort into your relationship, you're probably slowly losing it.
Yeah.
If you're not putting effort into your body, you're probably slowly losing it. It's business the same. People are clawing up. So it's one of them things where, like, I feel like you just have to pick what you need to prioritize. The thing is, people get very frustrated with their success because people think of success and they automatically think of following, money, big houses, and that's not always what success means to you. Like, success could be having your weekends off, spending with the loved ones and not stressed about work. Like, that is your definition. You need to define it for yourself. We don't have a podcast. Fuck me, it must have been like the sixth one or something. I remember defining success and we probably butchered it, but I do feel like you have to define it for yourself, whereas a lot of people end up letting society dictate what is success to them. And then I feel like that comes back to bite them in the arse because you end up chasing, say, a business or money or this whole thing where it's like, you need to escape the 9-to-5 matrix. No, you don't. You need to do whatever the fuck makes you happy. And there's a lot of additional stress when you go down different routes. Like, there's nothing is ever what it seems. The grass is never greener. The grass is green where you water it. And it's one of them things where you need to go, right, well, what are my values, right? I value my family, my downtime, a relaxing Sunday. Would having an extra 50 grand in my bank account really, really make that big of a fucking difference to my quality of life? Yeah, you might get a number of weeks holiday, but is the number of weeks or two or whatever, but the thing is it going to add your life, or is it actually going to take away more in the long run? And I think a lot of people don't weigh that up, because I'm not saying by any means my business taken away a lot, but it has. Like, it has taken a lot of different qualities away from my life for a long time period. I'm only really getting back now. And don't get me wrong, people go, I'll grind now, success later. But a lot of people don't slow down. It's one of the things where a lot of people can't, because of where they get themselves. It's different whenever you've already saved your best.
Then time isn't guaranteed either. I would have been maybe in that a few years ago, grind now, go chill out later. But now you're thinking, the fucking later's not guaranteed. In no way, shape, or form is later guaranteed. So, like, balance, hate the word, but it's finding your happy medium where, as you said, like, you were out having your pina coladas and stuff, but people that made it look down at that and go, oh, Tony, whatever, I'm like, but you're the same, you're the prick like me who goes to McDonald's. Like, a pina colada, no offense to anybody, a pina colada is not going to do half the harm as a late night drive through McDonald's.
A frozen margarita last night. Now, that was frozen. I reckon that's probably the heaviest cocktail you can probably get.
Oh, yeah. Well, frozen strawberry daiquiri would have the most sugar if they used the syrup.
Yeah, see, I reckon that one last night had at least three poured, and it had at least three drinks at minimum, if not four. Triple sec lime and a fuckload of sugar syrup. I reckon easily 500 calories in that one glass. And the thing is, but the thing is, that is them and them pina coladas over the weeks. Like, I didn't drink for probably 2 months prior.
Yeah.
Joe, like, what adds up? Like, it's like I had 3 days there where I just went ham, right? I gained a kilo. I woke up today and I was back down half a kilo already, and I'll be down the other half tomorrow. But the thing is, 3 days out of 365 is not even 1%.
No.
But the thing is, where people get fucked over with that sort of thing is the other 99% wank anyway. It's like 50-50. It's wank. There's a random Tuesday and you're sitting fucking eating shite watching tally. Like that. Yes, you can afford a little bit, but you need to define where your balance is. Whereas for me, I'm very much like I'm trying to be very much a switch on, switch off person.
Yeah.
Which I actually find very, very difficult, because I want that. And I struggle to dial out. Like, I struggle to stop eating well. I struggle to switch off, which a lot of people would probably struggle to understand.
I'd do the opposite.
Yeah, it's a momentum thing. I think it's a real insecurity from when I was younger and not doing well. And so when you build momentum and everything's going really well, you can be a little bit scared about losing it all. So I think what if the therapy, that was something that definitely came out whenever I was going through it. They were like, that's one of the reasons why you probably can't switch off as easily. Very, yeah. Very interesting. But
What would be, like, say, if we were to give two tips, you know, tips for building successful brands and businesses that you think maybe two tips that you implemented or that you've seen afterwards, or just two tips to repeat. If somebody's thinking of building like a self brand or a business now, what would be your top two tips?
Right. Well, number one, if you're building a self brand, like actual person, I think you need to be relatable to your target audience. So yeah. It's one of the things where, like, you have to just be fully in and relatable. Like, I post my family, I post everything, because I'm a personal brand. I'm not a brand, I'm personal. So the more you know about me, the more you know me, the more you like me, and the more you trust me. Whenever you do them three things, you're more likely to buy off me. Versus if you don't really know me, I'm just posting before and after, you don't know if I'm a dick, you don't know if I'm the real deal. Whereas you can tell by looking at me, what are my main values? I love traveling, I love the gym, I love the crack, I love the science of it, and I also love family. So like, a lot of people align with that straight away and go, right, that's a good person. Whereas you post on Instagram and you're successful, and you're posting Lamborghinis and beach clubs and nothing else. Whereas a lot of my stuff, like even at the beach clubs, is me like eating a grub, like a scoff, like with a big hat. It's how I go on.
You're not flexing.
I'm trying not to flex anyway. Like, I'm just trying to be me.
I know, but even if you did flex, it's never going to be fucking flex where you're like, here, do you want to earn a lifestyle like me while you're walking into a private jet? Like,
Yeah.
Like, that stuff's just fucking weird. I don't even know how people would sign up to shit like that.
I think the second thing that kills people is, I feel like the majority of people are beige, so they're not Marmite enough. They're too afraid of offending people. They don't stand for something, so they don't stand out. So really good examples of this is, you know, these are probably people who probably shouldn't be, but Liver King, Andrew Tate. Now, obviously, there are two people that have raised and fall. Let's take somebody else. Let's take, like, Kim K. If I asked you what these people stand for, you'd be pretty easily start going through, right, yet. I know what they stand for. What do they stand against? Pretty clear who their following is. Their following's more like cult. And whenever you can get, like, that sort of worship, you get your diehards, like, as much as people hate Tate, he's a very, very hate, like, people hate him.
Polarizing.
Yeah, I think you need to be polarized. And I honestly think, see, whenever you're beige and you're too afraid to say anything, society is too many people like that. And then the problem is you never make people like you enough that they want to buy off you or commit to you. And you're too afraid of kicking people off the fence if you're saying, like, if there's 100 people on the fence, start kicking them 50-50. See, letting everybody sit on the fence and decide, it'll never build you. And I think standing out is the key. Like, I feel like that is
attention. Vital. Attention is a commodity. It's the world's number one currency at the moment is attention. You can turn 100%. Attention into anything now. As long as people are listening, as long as people are watching, attention is the currency. How you get that attention is up to you. If it aligns with your brand, if it aligns with your values, get that attention. As Tony says, beige will not get attention. But you have to, one of my values would be, you have to be yourself. You can't really fake it till you make it in a personal brand, because people will quickly see through it. Maybe you may con people for a while, but they'll see through it very, very, very quickly. And also, if your personal brand is you and it's real, it's easier for you to market it because you know who you are better than anybody. You don't need a fucking marketing company to tell you how to market yourself. You are you. You know, think about it. Lewis Capaldi is Lewis Capaldi. The reason, if he didn't have a voice like an angel, he would 100% be famous for doing something else, because the personality, you couldn't keep that personality a secret. You just couldn't. He'd be doing something. He'd be definitely doing something. And then the other one was, your foundations can't be built in sand. Has to be built in something more sturdy. So if you're building something on, like, you're selling a shitty ebook, or you're selling something that you know yourself deep down is a load of dung, but you just want quick money, that'll come back and haunt you. Even if you move on to something that's good, or do something in the future that's good, the shit you do at the start will come back and bite you in the hole at some stage. It's like fucking the boy in Love Island, or there was some fella meant to be on Love Island. Turns out he was an absolute scumbag to Gares years ago. Now, Love Island could have changed his life. Don't know, mightn't have changed his life. But because he was a dickhead to Gares years ago, I don't think he did anything too bad. I think he was just a nasty prick. All of a sudden, he wasn't on Love Island. So it just goes to show, like, people dug that up about him and went, here, I don't think this boy's the right fit for the show. And they're like, you know what, you're right, he's off the show. That could have been a life-changing thing for him. But because he was a bollocks when he was 19 or 20, they had to take that away just in case something else. No, ATV have to cover their own backs. But if you build something on sand, at any stage of your life, you'll always have that worry that things can start crumbling. You know, things can come back and bite you in the hole.
Morals and values are key.
Yeah, morals and values. It's like DJs I know, like, that would book other DJs and then not pay them the money and go, oh, I'll get you again. And like they'd leave young fellas that need money holding for weeks and weeks to pay them. And that's all well and good as long as you're ahead of that young fella. Like, I would never, like, anybody knows me, I pay people straight up. Like, and that's one thing I will die on. I will pay you straight up. But you better hope that boy doesn't get ahead of you, because someday you might need a fucking favor off him. And that's, you know, good. I'm very much of the think of, you know, if you put good stuff in the world, you'll get good stuff back. Not even in a way of fucking, you know, hippy dippy shit. I just think if you're a good fella or good person in business, good shit will come back to you. It might come back straight away, but 9 times out of 10, it'll come back. And somehow, but I can tell you one thing for sure, if you're a wanker and you start treating people like shit in your business, or in your, like Tony, as Tony says, in your coffee shop, Tony's just one person that might have went in and got a bad time in that coffee shop, but you could multiply that by 100. Like, one person can do a lot of damage to your business. You could do a lot of damage to your business. Like, I'll not name names, but everybody knows there's a local guy who used to do a bit of shouting and screaming on social media. Had a business that probably was making good enough money. Don't even think that business will go anymore. Because at the end of the day, if you're the face of the business, people are buying stuff off you. They have to trust you. They have to like you. They have to kind of half see your moral values. But if you start being a dick, people aren't going to give you your £3 or £4 or your £100 or your £200.
Yeah,
that's very interesting. It is very interesting. The other thing comes is
down to who you are. Reap what you sow. It's like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like whenever I bring my family away and stuff, like I done that over the weekend there. Like I brought them away, and it's a really rewarding thing. But whenever you give, you always get. I feel like I don't do it because of what people see. I used to not post about it. Now I post because when people see that,
people like it, but because your mum and dad are fucking great on camera.
Yeah, they're great crack too. Like my dad last night, him running about in the cacks was absolutely hilarious. But it's one of them things where, like, when you give, you always get back. Like, you always do. And I just feel like it's one of them things that there's not enough of it. And people won't give unless they feel like they're going to get something back. But you always do. Like, people just look after you better. Like, they always...
like, even this podcast. Like, we started this podcast to, like, just to over lockdown, to give people something to listen to maybe try to help people. But, like, the amount of things that, like I've done a couple of gigs because of this podcast, Tony's a couple of clients. We don't plug each other's businesses. We don't plug our businesses on this podcast. But because we put out there and we try to, you know, selflessly try to help people and selflessly just like give people advice and or give people something to laugh about, you know, it's not, you know, it has come back and it has kind of, you know, repaid us in a different type of way. No, because like we're 170 weeks into this thing, and believe me, when it never really hit home until I put the 170 on the episode when I was uploading the last episode. Like if you think about it, 170 weeks in a row, taking an hour and a half say out of our weeks, trying to rendezvous, trying to work time zones between Australia, Ireland, Dubai, Ireland, fucking Spain, Ireland, America, Ireland, you know what I mean? It's
telling you now, folks, prison sentence.
It's fucking tough. But then, like, there's a lot of people, like, we've got a lot of heavy messages, like, and even if we want to slow this down, we probably, in our minds, couldn't, because we know this is, there's a lot of good coming out of this, a lot of good coming for certain people, and a lot of people that probably hasn't even reached out to us ever. There's a lot of good because, you know, at the end of the day, we see the stats, we see the listens, and we know it's helping people. We've got a few questions, Tony.
Go for it.
If either of us was to do something else for a living, what would it be?
Oh, I'm not going to take the cop out and say firefighting. I think that's probably what most people would assume. You know, I was very happy in that job.
I would like to have been a therapist, but to work with a certain element, not like a broad spectrum, work with young people.
If money was no object, I think that's a very rewarding job. I love an in-depth conversation. Like, I just think
there's not enough like young fellas, you know, it's fucking wild hard to get young fellas to talk.
I think it's hard to get them. I don't mean to sound cheeky, but it's one of them things where I feel like a lot of the time they don't know. It's not that they don't want to talk. I don't think the stigma is around that. It's who the fuck do they want to talk to?
But that's it. You know, like girls can have a girls' night and they'll chat about anything, like fucking, like they'll rinse boys out in a girls' night. You will rarely hear boys when they go out with the lads for a pint to go, fuck lads, I had a rough week. Even if they had fell out with the missus, they'll not speak to the boys about it. They'll may make a joke and go, fuck, she's on me this week, sir. But they'll not go, fuck, here, this isn't going well. Like, people, fellas don't talk like that. Fellas don't go, oh, call around for a cup of tea. well, most fellas wouldn't, especially young lads. So that was kind of always my, in the back of my head, that is something I always wanted to do. And more through the years, it all stems from DJing a student events. It's just see the.
No, I think, would you not do it as like a, see, you don't have time, do you?
I don't have time, but I have looked into it. I have looked into it. There's a really good course in Dublin, but it's fucking the days of the week it's on. It fucking kills me. Like, it's on like two of the busy days of the week that I can do.
I know Connor O'Neill, let's say, on the podcast before, like, he knew yourself performance, yeah. like he went back to uni and was done a, like, pretty much a degree in therapy, and like, I think he's going into PhD now. But it's one of the things where, like, I feel like you hit a stage, I don't know about you, but especially whenever you're pushing forward and stuff in your life, and if you're doing well with business and money and that, you also start to go, right, well, what's going to bring me a bit more fulfillment. It's funny because I think you start to always go back to giving back.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, like, definitely. If you have a bit of luck in your life, do you ever get this feeling? Say if stuff's going well, I always get this feeling when stuff's going really well, I was like, right, how can I help someone or help or do something for somebody or something? Not talking like financially, I'm talking about like, right, this good shit's happened to me. How can I like help this person or help that person or right, this person might deserve a bit of luck. Like, how can I? And I always, I try to do it anyway in general, weekly, but the more things go well, the more I kind of, like, I will target a person. They don't even know that, like, this, I'm thinking of a person right now, they don't even know this, but I know this person wanted their music to kind of kick off more. So I was like, right, unknowingly, I'm going to give this person every chance I can. I'm going to fire gigs at them right, left, and center. They're not going to go, no way I'm firing gigs at them because they don't listen to this podcast. Like, but I'm going to make sure that this person is on everybody's view. And a couple of months later, they said to me, you know what? I really want to go full-time. I'm so close to going full-time. But music, I was like, how do you need to go full-time? Oh, I need to get another gig a week, and then I can go full-time. So unknowingly, a couple of weeks later, I came to them, says, right, let's look at your diary. Let's see what we can get you sort of more gigs. I need to get these gigs filled. So I kind of fill them gigs, and next thing then they're full time and they're doing what they love.
Yeah, but I bet you got something off that.
I just picked somebody I wanted to help them because, you know, they've helped me. They've, when I've been stuck, they've tried to help me. They're just nice people and they just deserve a chance. And I just thought to myself, you know what? The last couple of years, things have been good. And it's time to just maybe try to help somebody else and try to make them feel good. And you know what? It's not even a selfish thing, really, because I don't mind it. I don't mind if someone goes, you know what? I'm doing this because I want all the good karma back. As long as you're doing a good thing. It's like when people give Mr. B shite for curing people's blindness. People are like, oh, but he did it for a YouTube video. He fucking helped people see.
It's one of the things where, yeah, see, for me as well, like, whenever I hit a milestone, I always want to celebrate it or do something for people around me. I never really, like, whenever I hit 100,000, like, yes, my one's got me a cake and that, but then I booked a trip. So, like, it wasn't like a trip for me, it was a trip for us. Like, you don't want to celebrate or do wins by yourself. So it's one of the things, like, the better you do, the more you usually do give back as well. It's a very interesting thing. It's like almost one of the reasons why people also do love McGregor as well, because he takes the whole man all in the yacht. Like, it's a totally different
energy. He's getting harder to like.
You don't overanalyze that, but it does add up.
It does. Let's see. Would you rather be life smart or academic smart? Life smart.
Life smart. Academic smart will only take you so far.
What do you make of all this sobriety stuff? It's literally turning it into a marketing scheme. Well, if people need to go sober, they fucking need to go sober. If they want to go sober, they go sober, I don't think.
I believe you can find your own balance.
It's like, I don't think anybody's going off drink that don't need to, if you know what I mean. You know, it might be a problem, but it might be just, you know what, I feel better not being hungover.
I think if you haven't done it, taking a couple months off the drink is always a good thing just to see how you like it.
I unknowingly was off drink for 11 months once.
Yeah, see, I've done a year
without
off.
Without knowing, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I was the same. I've done like a year. I think I've done 13 or 14 months. But I honestly think if you can remove it for a very short period of time, like your phone, and then you reintroduce it, you actually enjoy it more. It's like the stoic mindset. Whenever you take something away, like, because I don't really drink that often, like, see how much I enjoyed that frozen margarita and the feeling of being a wee bit like tipsy.
Yeah.
Versus whenever I used to do it every weekend, I wake up groggy. It almost takes away from my life, whereas it's just making sure it adds to it. So I feel like a lot of people remove it because they can't find that balance then of just getting blackout drunk. And so they've got it doesn't add to their life. So eventually when they stop drinking, they feel like it's a mass improvement. Whereas the only reason you're probably improving is because you don't have that balance, which is fine. And you should step away from it and then reintroduce and be smart. But
yeah,
it's not one of them right or wrong. You have to decide for yourself. That's a very personal. I think definitely some time away is smart. Not drinking every weekend is smart. It lowers your testosterone. It affects your mood. It can make you more depressed. It affects your sleep. But at the same time, it's also great for a bit of fucking crack and a bit of relaxing and having a life. But the one thing I do love is, and I think this is a very good quote to stand by, if you go somewhere and you say, oh, I would have to drink to go there,
you're in the wrong. Sean Casey said that as well.
You're in the wrong place, because that means you need a drink to be there. Like, you actually have to set it. You're taking a sedative to, like, it's like if you couldn't go to a nightclub and have a good night without a drink, you actually don't enjoy nightclubs. You enjoy being drunk in a nightclub. It's very different. You're altering your state.
The one thing I will say, I don't mind being sober anywhere, but I don't like being sober. If the boys are going in a big one, like a big one, I don't like being sober when they're all blitzed.
No, I agree.
It's like I'm holding them back. They're on a different fucking level to me. So I'm just like, you know what? I would nearly go, you know what, lads? I want to hear all the crack. I'll lift yous after. I'll drop yous in. I'll lift yous after. But
I know where you're coming from.
I can't be in the clubbies, because you're going to go fucking mental in there, and I'm not going to be on that level. And I'm going to feel like I'm the babysitter or the fucking shepherd or the lion tamer or whatever personalities you're going to take on the night. But as Sean Casey said the same thing, if you go, oh, I would need alcohol to go to that rave, well, then you shouldn't be at the rave. It shouldn't mean that you have to be blocked to go to a rave or to go to a concert. It just means that you need to be blocked for you to fit in there, or for you to settle the nerves to fit in there. That should be the biggest red flag, that you should not be there, or that you need a crutch to have you there, which is, it was very, I actually listened to that one when I was in Australia when Sean was talking about it. Let's see. Would you ever go full Instagram, hun, and post affiliate links nonstop? No, I wouldn't, don't know.
No, probably not, to be honest. Depends. Like, the only thing I've ever put up was the cookie dealer, and it was just because I was eating so many, and people were just asking.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't, but people knew forever. I think this person probably means that, you know, you get these people are just like, buy this, and then 2 days later, it's like, buy this, but it's the same sort of thing, but with a different brand, and it's buy this, come and buy this. Look, every post is like an affiliate link. No, it wouldn't be for me, for the simple reason is, I couldn't sell something I didn't believe in. And clearly, the same as Tony, I know this is true, because we've been offered sponsorship for this podcast before, but it's never been sponsored by something that we actively use or do. So it would be just be remiss for us to go, oh, we're now sponsored by, fuck, well, if Manscaped want to sponsor now, get a wee buzz.
Manscaped always want to sponsor us. There's a bit of a fucking thing. You took the free kit, if I'm correct.
It's still there. Still there. Great job. Thanks, guys. Great job. I think we have one more. Do you lads feel that outliers are looked down upon in smaller areas?
They are and they're not. Like, it's one of the things where I would count myself as that, but in the long grass, you can jump, it can add up. So it's one of them ones where
I think people, if they don't understand you, they'll look down on you. They don't understand how, like, people, like, what it says, you know, how do you make money from DJing? Do you boys not get paid 50 quid? And people would say the same, Tony, but do you not train people in the gym? You know, they couldn't get their head around. Even fucking, like when I started training with Tony, people couldn't get their head around that it wasn't actually in person. So I think outliers in smaller areas, if the people don't understand what you do, they might look down on you, but a wee bit of education, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
it depends what your outlier doing. If you're from Ballygo backwards and you're a fucking fashion designer, I'm sure like people are thinking, Jesus, that band's making fucking weird clothes. They're gonna be fucking. They're not gonna understand because it's probably not in their wheelhouse. But it's just like, you know, small areas. That's just small area shit. Everybody goes through it. Like, be it Newry, be it Oma, be it fucking anywhere.
You can come from anywhere. I don't think it goes against you, Mass.
It doesn't go, unless you're from, even Belfast, be backward enough compared to New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You'll always find someone that doesn't understand you, and because you're a wee bit different, you stand out like a sore thumb.
That'd be an excuse more than anything in my head.
Aye, that's what it'd be. It'd be an excuse. But guys, we're rapid.
Sounds good to me.
Rap and roll.
Right, that is us, as usual,
Like, share, and the stories. We've got a couple of more reviews.
Shares were big. Thank you very much.
And yeah, we'll chat these again next week.
Let us know topics. Anything.
Let
you
us
want.
Know topics and what else. Have fun. Au revoir.
Bye.